This idea of sheep without a shepherd. Ezekiel 34 says this, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." Now, we'll stop there for just a quick moment. I want to keep reading in this. We are talking here in this passage about kings of Israel specifically, I believe. But I believe a broader application is to all the spiritual leaders that might be around. And at the time of Jesus specifically, when he sees sheep without a shepherd, we might be looking directly at the Pharisees, right? People who were clearly given authority, whether by God or by men, to care for the souls of the people. And then when they were tasked with caring for the souls of the people, they chose to fatten themselves instead. Maybe not literally fattening themselves, but here we see all these different ways in which the sheep were just oppressed and humiliated ultimately and just completely scattered abroad. I believe we're talking a little bit about the Pharisees here. Let's keep reading the good news, shall we? "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out." We'll stop there. Isn't that something? "I myself will search for my sheep and he will seek them out." Now, who is it? Who's talking here? Is it Ezekiel? It's God. God is talking here. Let's keep reading. "As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." Ooh. What happens at the crucifixion? That's interesting. I can't necessarily prove that that's directly what it's talking about, but I get a suspicion. Right? This intense darkness that takes place when the crucifixion happens. Let's keep going. "Now we'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Now, really quickly, David's already passed away. We're promised in the Old Testament, we've seen it in Isaiah 11, different passages like that, that somebody is going to sit on the throne of David forever. So sometimes when we see passages like this dealing with my servant David, he's talking about this one that's going to come from the line of David. And we see the finality of that, Matthew chapter 1, in which Jesus is born of this unbroken line all the way from Abraham, really you can go all the way back to Adam, of course, from Abraham all the way down to Jesus, unbroken line. And you'll find some very important figures in that, people who are promised that this lineage would happen through them, a.k.a. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, continue on all down, David, and then eventually when you get all the way down, you get Jesus. So when we see this servant David, he's not talking about David coming back from the dead. He's talking about this one who is to come, and this one who is to come to be the shepherd is going to be Jesus. Let's keep reading. I was very blessed by Ezekiel 34. I want to share it with you. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit and the earth shall yield its increase and they shall be secure in the land, in their land. They shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, no longer suffer the reproach of nations. They shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they are my people, the house of Israel, are my peoples, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, for I am your God, declares the Lord. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 9. Might have to make this a three-parter. Getting all fired up in Ezekiel here. Again, verse 36 in Matthew chapter 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He saved us. He justified by his blood from the wrath of God. We are saved not only from the wrath of God, not only from the penalty of our sins, but of course that eternal damnation and the lake of fire. When he sees his people in this text, he sees people without a shepherd, people that desperately need his grace. Then in verse 37 and following, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, in chapter 10, we're going to see a lot of what these harvest workers start doing. And we start off with 12 apostles. You might see that in your next heading of chapter 10. And these 12 apostles are going to go start doing some work for the Lord Jesus. Amen? And even in after the resurrection and after the ascension, they start doing even more. And the workers are sent out. There are more workers being raised up, and they're sent out, and the harvest is just continually plentiful. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is this shepherd that was going to be a shepherd like David, like the Prince of David even, or Prince David, excuse me. And he's going to be somebody greater than that even. He's going to be the God who is the shepherd of his people. So when he sees a bountiful harvest, when he sees all of the nations of this world who are given to him, he sees essentially limitless harvest. I don't know how many people are going to be saved, but I reckon it's going to be a pretty large amount. It's not going to be 144,000 like some cults believe, right? When we look out at the nations, when we look out at America, just Wellington here, when we look at Kansas and America and so on and so forth, we should see, like Jesus does, sheep without a shepherd. We should see sheep without a shepherd. Now we have been sheep, or are sheep, who are brought into Jesus' pasture. We've been brought in. He's already sorted us from the fat and the lean. He already knows who we are. He's already taken away the goat, so to speak. We are in his pasture if we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our shepherd now. He is having compassion not just on us, but others out there. Right? The right time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He set us free from the wrath of God. He died for us. He's having compassion not just on us, of course, but all those out there that will believe. Every single one of them. Jew and Greek alike. Male, female. black, white, purple, or otherwise colorless. It doesn't matter. Whatever they are, God has died for people of all nations, all tribes, all tongues. There's no barbarian, Scythian, Jew, or Greek. There's none of that anymore in Christ Jesus. And he says, again, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Think about Moses for a moment. I don't know exactly how many Israelites lived at the time of Moses. Some people say a couple million. That seems like a lot to me, but I have no way of saying otherwise, so I'll just go with it. A couple million people. How many shepherds did they have? Zero at that point, until Moses was appointed to be the shepherd. Really had zero. And God appointed Moses to be the shepherd of that whole people. That means a couple million people had to hear the words of Moses, the words of God through Moses. Millions of people had to hear that message and come to faith, not in Moses, but in God who sent Moses, right? In the I Am. Here, we have a similar situation. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It may not be, I reckon, that everybody in this room is going to be like Billy Graham preaching for millions of people, right? I reckon. I'll be happily proven wrong. That would be incredible. Everybody in here starts preaching like that. But when we think about that, that means there are millions of people coming to Billy Graham, not to come to faith in Billy Graham, but the God that sent Billy Graham, people like it, different kinds of evangelists, different kinds of pastors, different kinds of Christians all over the world. And what Jesus is saying here is that there really is a bountiful harvest, and there really isn't that many people going out to work that harvest. And so what does he tell us to do? What's the outcome? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I'm going to add a bullet under that in just a moment, but he is telling us right now, because the harvest is plentiful, we don't know how many people in Wellington are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, right? We know a lot of people go to church, a lot of people go all different kinds of places, and we are not required by the Lord to just know the hearts of every single person. We are required, however, to actually sow the seed of the word, right? In all kinds of soil. It could be the soil of somebody who's already growing up and producing fruit, and you're just being a blessing by sharing the word. And perhaps it's somebody who is rocky ground and isn't going to end up growing very well. Perhaps it's a seed that ends up getting stolen by crows. Whatever the case, we don't know. We're not required to know. We just know that the harvest really is plentiful, and we are supposed to go share that word. We're supposed to pray specifically for people to go share that word, to go into the harvest out there after church services, after whatever, after spending a week at doing work and things like that, and even at work and wherever you are finding yourself on a daily basis, you are supposed to be praying here for the Lord to send out workers to the harvest. Now, the bullet point I would add, not that I'm changing what Jesus is saying, but I want to encourage you with something. Pray for yourself to be prepared to be a worker of the harvest. Now, I'm not saying pray for the Lord to turn you into a missionary in Uganda or something like that. But pray for the Lord to prepare you to be a worker of the harvest so that when you are sent out, and by the way, that's why we come to church in Ephesians chapter 3 or 4, whichever one it is, we come to church to be prepared for the work of ministry, okay? So when we come to church, we're not coming just sit around, man, that was a really cool message. I'm going to go home and do whatever I want, watch a football game, which sometimes I'm guilty of doing and forget everything, right? I'm actually being prepared for the work of the ministry. So when I go out into the harvest, I can actually participate in the harvest beyond just praying. And of course, that praying is invaluable. Don't ever stop praying. But I can actually be one of the workers that God is sending into the harvest because I'm being prepared for the work of the ministry. Doesn't that sound exciting, by the way? And by the way, when we pray like that, when we pray for the Lord, God prepare me to be a worker of the harvest. It's dangerous. I call on things like that a dangerous prayer. I think it's a funny way to say that. Not original to me by any means, but that's the kind of prayer God answers really happily and really readily. If you're being genuine and you really want to be a worker of the harvest, God's going to prepare you. And by the way, you might not like how he prepares you. You might not even like the situations he calls you to preach the gospel in. Like the engagement project we watched a couple months ago, it's been a while now, that Dale Tackett, whatever his name is, he talks about the situation that he was praying for the Lord to make an opportunity to share the gospel with his neighbors. And his neighbor had pigs that escaped their yard. And after Dale Tackett spends hours and hours preparing his whole garden, making it nice and beautiful, the pigs trample the garden and eat everything in it. And because of that, he got to share the gospel with that family, with his neighbors. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's a prayer God might really happily answer and readily. So when we are thinking about these words of Jesus, Jesus has compassion on the people. He sees everybody out there, has compassion on them because they're sheep without a shepherd. He knows that he is going to be the good shepherd forever and ever. We who are the sheep of God are going to be brought into his pasture, and we are going to enjoy his rest and his blessing and his nourishment forever. We're going to live in a city where he is the very light itself, because there is no purpose in a son if Jesus is there amongst them. When we think about that kind of God, who has that kind of compassion on people who are sheep without a shepherd, people who are ungodly, people who are sinners, people who were as we were, we ought to have the same kind of compassion. Amen? And when we think about having that kind of compassion, what should result is what Jesus says here, recognizing first that the harvest is plentiful, recognizing also that the laborers are few, and then praying earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then that little bullet point, praying that we might be the workers of that harvest. God has, for some reason, in his infinite wisdom, we can't even fathom this, chosen the foolishness of preaching as a means to share the gospel. And I don't mean me being stupid up here and making stupid jokes, things like that. And I don't even mean me using the Word of God and talking about the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God to you and hopefully blessing you in that regard. What I mean is every single person here sharing the gospel with somebody. That's what it means to preach. Everybody is called to be a preacher. Everybody. Not everybody's called to be a pastor, but that's different. A preacher is not a category. It's not a job description or anything. It's just what pastors happen to do when the church gathers. That's what we do, is teach the word, right? But in terms of sharing the gospel with people, the reason, once more, that you come to church is to be prepared to do the work of the ministry, to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. So when you hear the word of God, like this particular text, seeing Jesus having compassion on people, with sheep without a shepherd, all those different ideas, we might hear these ideas, make the correct connections, and then finally do the actions that the Lord is requiring of us. And today, the actions he's requiring of us is to simply pray for the harvest and to pray for workers to be sent out into the harvest. And as we close, may we each pray also that we pray to God every single day, earnestly, to be sent, well, prepared and sent into the harvest ourselves. Amen? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for your word and this opportunity that we have to gather around it. God, we praise you for the beauty of this particular text, in which we see Jesus and his compassion on the crowds, his compassion on the bountiful harvest, or the harvest that would perhaps in their humanity suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and yet, Jesus, you would have compassion on them in spite of themselves. And Father, we praise you so much for giving us Jesus, who would save us from the wrath to come by his own blood, his shed blood on the cross, so he would be buried and raised again on the third day. And everybody who believes in that, Lord, we praise you so much that we would have the same resurrection by the Holy Spirit, Lord. God, we praise you so much for the gospel. God, may we, as we go out from this place, may we be praying earnestly for workers to be sent out into the harvest. And God, I just ask that you prepare each and every one of us to be a worker of the harvest. In your name, amen.